Good morning, and welcome once again to Studies in the Gospels, right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host of this program, and each week at this same time, we take a look at the life of Christ, as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And now we began last week a new section of our study that we are referring to as the year of development, and so we're going to be in John chapter 7. Today we're going to consider verses 10 through 13 as Jesus goes to the feast. Now we have recently looked at the question of who is Jesus. If you recall last week's lesson, his brothers did not yet recognize him for who he was, though they would eventually come to that recognition. Jesus point blank asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15. But what do you think about Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about your place in eternity? So let's begin this morning by taking a look at what some individuals thought about Jesus. In our text, we begin in John chapter 7 and verse 10. But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast, and said, "Where is he?" And there was much complaining among the people concerning him. Some said, "He is good." Others said, "No, on the contrary, he deceives the people." However, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. Notice with me Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." Jesus would not go about things the way his unbelieving brothers would have him to. The way of the world is not the way of God. The time had not yet arrived for Jesus to face the level of opposition that would eventually lead to the cross. We see that Jesus would not go up to the feast in a public way that would bring attention upon himself, as his brothers would have had him to do. But instead, he goes up privately. Notice in our text, verse 10. But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Why would Jesus go up to this feast privately? His brothers had suggested, in essence, that if he wanted his wanted followers, then he should go up to the feast and publicly work miracles in their presence. In other words, they thought he should go up to be seen. In other words, a display of showmanship. But again, we can think back to verse 5 earlier in this chapter and see that they were not yet true believers of Jesus. It said in verse 5, "For even his brothers did not believe in him." This shows the world was controlling the mindset of his brothers. Their thought process was, if you want followers, then put on a show. Jesus would only go up to the feast at the proper time and in the proper way, according to the Father's plan. So Jesus now goes up to the feast, but he does it privately instead of with a large group or entourage of disciples, and he is very discreet about it so as not to draw undue attention. Now, as we go back to our text, notice verse 11. "Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, 'Where is he?'" Now we see the wisdom of Jesus in going to the feast privately. It was because of the Jews. And in this case, that means his enemies. The rulers of the Jews were looking for him. Why were they looking for Jesus? They greatly desired to catch him, and especially to catch him outside of Galilee, outside the authority and the jurisdiction of Herod Antipas. They hoped that they could find some way to trap and ensnare him, giving them a reason to exterminate Jesus. Jesus did not go up to the feast publicly, for it was not yet time to face that type of opposition. There was still too much work for him to do. Jesus always did the will of the Father, and he would always do things the right way at the right time. Now in verse 12 we find that his brothers were not the only people confused about Jesus, and many more were curious rather than opposed to him. Notice verse 12. "And there was much complaining among the people concerning him. Some said, 'He is good.' Others said, 'No, on the contrary, he deceives the people.'" Why were they complaining this way about Jesus? It is really more of a murmuring among the people about Jesus, while trying not to be overheard by the wrong people. Some of those in the crowd believed that Jesus was a good man. This was probably some of those individuals that had witnessed or heard reliable reports of his miracles. But they did not have a believing faith in him, but thought enough of him to say, "He is good." Much like we might say about a good person that is not a part of the body of Christ, but is of a good reputation. These people were thinking of Jesus something along the lines of, "He heals the sick and the lame. How can he be bad? Now their thought was certainly true, for Jesus was and is a good man. But that is not the whole truth, is it? Was not Jesus much more than simply a good man? He was and is truly more, for Jesus is also God. Jesus very clearly revealed that he is God to man. Jesus made this very clear when he was speaking to Martha in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. There, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" If the words of Jesus are true, and we know that they are, then Jesus is far more than just a man. But if they are not true, then he is a liar, and thus far less than a good man. Now, there were others in the crowd that expressed just that very opinion. For there were those that believed that Jesus was a deceiver and that he was leading people astray. They thought that he may have done some miracles, but Jesus was certainly not speaking for God. They thought that he had to be up to some form of no good. They believed he was dangerous and needed to be killed, in fact. For notice back to verse 1 here in chapter 7. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Verse 13 makes this very clear in that many in the crowd were afraid to speak openly. Notice verse 13, "However, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews." Even Jesus would note that they were seeking to kill him in verse 19. "Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me?" And in fact, this had already been going on for quite some time, as we can see all the way back to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 16, "For this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath." Why was there such confusion about Jesus? It was certainly not because of Jesus not being clear concerning who he was. The confusion was because of the lack of belief. They did not have belief in the message of Jesus. There was no fault or lack of proper communication on the part of Jesus. The root cause is always the same: the lack of faith. We see this problem of lack of faith in the confusion that we read of in chapter 6 and verse 60. Jesus taught very clearly to these people who were witnessing his miracles, listening to his teachings, when he called for their 100% devotion and faith in him. They showed their lack of faith. Chapter 6 and verse 60 says, "Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?'" It was not that they could not understand him. It was the fact that they did not want to believe him. These people in the crowd, with all of their various thoughts about Jesus, are very similar to those we read of in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18, who were suffering from hardness of the heart more than anything else. Notice there, Ephesians 4 and verse 18. "Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." A hardened heart is the worst disease of all. It keeps a man or woman trapped in spiritual death. Hardness of heart and refusal to repent of sin and be obedient to Jesus Christ will result in the right and just judgment of God. Those in the crowd gathered to see Jesus, yet refused to believe. They are like those in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. And many today are just the same. 2 Corinthians 4:4, "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." My friends, confusion about Jesus Christ is the result of a lack of belief, spiritual blindness, and even a refusal to believe. These discussions of who Jesus is were all done privately because of their fear of the ruling Jews and the scribes and the Pharisees. It was dangerous for them to speak the name of Jesus openly. The leaders of the Jews were set out to kill Jesus. To speak of Jesus would be risky, and to speak in favor of Jesus would be a very dangerous thing to do. But isn't that still the way of Satan today? Naming the name of Jesus has become politically incorrect today. By making the name of Jesus a risky and dangerous thing to say in public, and Satan has thus silenced the truth in many behind or about the name of Jesus. He has made many people fearful to speak of Jesus, and thus helping to silence the teaching of Christ. Recently, an elementary school in Texas had a sign removed for mentioning God in it. A Florida high school football team that found itself in hot water for praying over an injured teammate. And many other things are happening daily. Why these things? The world hates Jesus. The world even hates the very name of Jesus because he spoke out against sin. The world hates the true church because it speaks out against sin. And too much of the church has shrunk back in fear rather than shining the light of Jesus into the darkness, exposing sin. Jesus called sinners to repent of their sin and believe in him alone for the forgiveness of their sin. In Luke chapter 13, in verse 3, Jesus said, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. In the Great Commission, in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Satan is so opposed to the need of repentance that he uses man in every way that he can to get man to oppose Christ, and Satan is having so much success in this land today doing just that. The religious division all around and the open of hatred of Jesus Christ by the world should come as no surprise to us. Jesus told us that strife would result because of him, because he exposes darkness. As long as this world still remains, some, when they hear of him, will believe, and others will not believe. The question today is, what do you make of Jesus? Do you have the courage to confess his name in this out-of-season time? Or are you afraid to speak the name of Jesus? Will you live in obedience to his word? Will you live your life in a way that speaks clearly of the Christ? Will you live a life unafraid to speak and teach his gospel to others who need to know that Jesus and obedience to the gospel are the only hopes of eternal life for man? The question is, will you come to him? Thank you for joining me today. I hope that you've enjoyed our time together and have benefited from it. I certainly have, and I've been encouraged by your presence. Remember, this program will be replayed at 11 p.m. this evening and posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. the Lord wills, we'll see you again next week at this same time for another edition of Studies in the Gospels right here on the Gospel Radio Network. So long, and have a great day.